Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simon, who was called Niger, Lucas of Cyrene, Manon, a close friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after they had fasted, prayed, and laid hands on them, they sent them off. God bless the reading of his word. Y'all might be sitting if you want to. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this day, for this church family to come together and worship and show their love for you. Be with us now as Pastor Chris brings his message. Put the words in his mouth, hide him behind the cross. Open our hearts and open our minds to what he tells us. Be with us now. Guard, guide, and direct that all we do glorifies you. And all God's children say, amen.
Praise the Lord and hallelujah. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Deacon. Appreciate you, brother. All right. Continuing in the book of Acts. And in the next few chapters, we're going to be looking at the journeys that Paul took with various other people as he went around proclaiming the gospel. Now, today I just want to introduce you to the Apostle Paul, maybe share something you may not have known about him. And the reason I want to do this is because Paul plays such a large role in the growing of the Christian church. Without the efforts of the Apostle Paul, the church may not have been able to grow as rapidly as it did. Now, God is all-knowing. He knew what Paul would do. But Paul absolutely was not fit to share the gospel in his original state. As many of us come to Christ, we understand and realize that we're not worthy, we're not fit to share the gospel. The Bible tells us that no man seeks after God, that the only reason we get saved is because God sought us first. Same thing happened with Paul. Paul was sought by God for a particular purpose. And as we go through scriptures, we read about many people who God called for service who did not consider themselves worthy, but God used them anyhow. If you're here today and you don't feel like you're worthy to serve the Lord, you're wrong. Because all of these men had their flaws, they had their problems, they had their issues, and they didn't consider themselves worthy. Paul, on the other hand, considered himself very worthy to represent God. He just went about it in the wrong way. As Paul started out, and we'll get into this a little bit, Paul was born about the same time that Jesus was. He was about the same age as Jesus was. And Paul was born in the city of Tarsus. A lot of times you'll hear him referred to as Saul of Tarsus. That was the city he was born in, which was in Cilicia, which is modern-day Turkey. One thing that I want you to notice is Paul had dual citizenship. And that might be a little hard to read against that light background. But Paul had dual citizenship. He was a citizen of Israel as well as a citizen of Rome. The place he was born in afforded him Roman citizenship. His lineage afforded him Hebrew citizenship. He was part of the tribe of Benjamin. Both of his parents were Pharisees. Yes, they had female Pharisees back then. They're not talked about a lot, but they did exist. And so Paul's parents were very fervent Jewish nationalists. And they did not want their children brought up outside of the law of Moses. And so we get a glimpse into Paul's upbringing. And the reason he was so dead set against Christians was because he was brought up believing anything other than Judaism was wrong. Anything other than belief in the law of Moses and the temple system was absolutely wrong. So he saw this Christianity movement starting and he wanted it killed. So as we go through this study of Paul, we're going to spend a few weeks on it, and I just wanted to show off one of the things that we have here with this new system is I can show you some maps. And I know you can't really read that legend too well, but we'll be explaining this. That is the three missionary journeys of Paul. And you can see in the map that Paul spends all of his time going between Jerusalem and Tarsus. He had his route set up. When we talk about the missionary journeys of Paul, understand that he didn't branch out all over the place. He had one route that he took, and he went through proclaiming Jesus and planting churches. Then he came back through building the churches. And his third missionary journey, he went back through encouraging and correcting the churches. When we read the New Testament, the majority of the books in the New Testament are written by Paul, and he wrote those as letters of correction to the different churches. This is why it's so important that we study the different letters, because it's correction for us today. Many of the same things that the churches went through back then are the same things we go through now. We all need correction. We all need to be rebuked from time to time. We also need to be encouraged, and we need to be told when, guys, you're doing it right. You're serving God well. You're doing a good job. And there's many times we do a good job of attempting to serve God well, but in our human endeavors, we fail miserably when we don't bathe it in prayer, when we don't rely on the Holy Spirit, and we try to do it in our own power. Now, yesterday we had an open house, and my prayer was that it would cause people from the neighborhood to come in to come and meet us. Well, sadly, we had one person show up for the whole open house. But it's all in God's timing. And there are people who saw the invitation who may come to the church one day because they understand we are a welcoming church. But they also know that we're here. And I've had people tell me, I didn't even know there was a church there till they cut the trees down along Treeland Drive. And so, guys, as we try our best to serve God and to do the right thing, understand that God's timing and His will are perfect. And even when it doesn't work out in our own way, that it will work out. Because Paul went through the countryside initially thinking that he was serving God by persecuting Christians. And that persecution goes on today. Now, here in America, guys, we're spoiled. We've got it easy. We can go and worship whenever, wherever we want to without fear of the law stopping us. It wasn't true back then. Now, what I'm going to give us today is an overview of the Apostle Paul. It is by no means an in-depth study, but my aim in this is to get you to open up the book of Acts and read it. Because the book of Acts actually reads like a really good action thriller. You see the early church getting started. You see the opposition to the early church. You see people being martyred and killed for the early church. You see why there was opposition to the early church. So it is actually a very interesting read if you'll take the time and just read through the book of Acts, and you'll see a lot of the things that the early church did that established a lot of the doctrine that we have today. And so there's a really good reason for going through the book of Acts and studying it. Now, as we get to the end of this, many of y'all know the Apostle Paul. He's the one that started the movement of Christianity for Gentiles. He's the one that planted churches, and he did a lot of things. Now, there's a lot of people out in society now, because Paul spoke out a gay lifestyle, they're saying, well, Paul was no authority. Paul, we can't rely on what Paul said. We can only look at what Jesus said. But when we actually do a careful study of the scriptures, we see that Paul is actually affirmed by God, by the Holy Spirit, by Jesus, and by the other apostles, that he is an authority when it comes to serving God, to the things as a church that we need to do. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. We'll get into that a little bit. But Paul spends the majority of his time writing to the churches to correct them and to bring them into right fellowship with God. As a matter of fact, there's only one book in the New Testament where Paul is actually favorable of the church he's writing to, that he just talks about the good that they're doing and the positive things that are going on. The rest of the letters are admonishments and correction for the church, and those are things we need to pay attention to. Now, many people stay away from church because they don't like correction. Nobody likes to be told how to live or what to do. I get that. As a pastor, I understand that fully. If you were here last week and you heard Brother Ozzy preaching, he talked about a time in his life when he hated the pastor. And I understand that, especially young people. You don't like the pastor because he keeps telling you what you're doing is wrong. You don't like the pastor because he speaks out against things that society says are good or normal. You know, I had someone at work argue with me when they said, don't you believe that a woman should be able to make decisions and have control over her own body? And I pointed out 1 Corinthians chapter 6 to him to refute that claim. Because guys, if you're here and you're a believer in Christ, you do not own your body. Jesus bought it. Jesus paid for your body at a price. And what he did on the cross of Calvary means that when you accept him as the Savior of your life, you don't have to accept him as Savior. He's already the Savior whether you accept it or not. But when you take him as the Savior and the Lord of your life, your body is not your own. You are in submission to Jesus Christ. That's why he's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we are to submit ourselves to Christ. Paul actually goes on in one of his letters and says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So we are to sacrifice ourselves to Christ. Jesus himself said that unless any man deny himself and pick up his cross and follow me daily, he is not fit for the kingdom of God. So when we come to faith in Christ, when we fully understand what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary, we should be willing to submit our lives to him. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul did. Because in the beginning, number two, Paul was an enemy of Christianity. Paul was absolutely an enemy of all Christians. So at the age of 13, Paul was sent to Judea to learn from a rabbi named Gamaliel, under whom Saul mastered Jewish history, the Psalms, and the works of the prophets. Paul knew the Old Testament as well as any human being could understand the Old Testament. Paul just wasn't blindly going around trying to persecute Christians. He was trying to protect the Old Testament as he knew it was written. The problem was, like most of the other Jews, he missed the Messiah. He was looking for a different person. He knew what the scripture said about Jesus. That's one of the reasons that God chose Saul on the road of Damascus to be the greatest church planter the world ever knew. Because this man had spent his whole life learning about God and the Old Testament, so that when he was confronted with the truth of Jesus, he saw Jesus for who he actually was. Many of us will miss Jesus for who he actually is because we don't either understand or we choose not to believe the Old Testament. I've had several people tell me, I don't have a problem believing in God. I don't have a problem believing in a creator. What I have a problem is believing I have to put my faith in a radical that died 2,000 years ago. Well, I understand that, but also understand that radical that died 2,000 years ago is the same radical that we base our modern calendar off of. Our years are marked by the life and death of Christ. It has been attested to not only in biblical writing, but in extra-biblical writing of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How he spent 40 days on the earth after he was resurrected from the dead. And there are over 400 eyewitnesses to Jesus Christ. To go a little bit further, and we'll get into this as we look at the Apostle Paul, you understand everybody that was willing to die for their faith, everybody that was willing to die because they saw and touched and walked with a risen man that had risen from the dead. And Jesus claimed to be God. Jesus presented many miracles to the people, and his preaching was unlike anything they had ever heard. And so the proof, the evidence we have for Christ being the Son of God and being the Messiah is overwhelming. If you just say, well, I don't believe it because it's written in the Bible and the Bible's written by men, you're being intellectually dishonest with what is written. Because everything that we believe are things that were written by eyewitnesses of the time. It was presented to me this way during a training class, is who in here believes the Titanic sank? Only some of you? I believe we all believe the Titanic sank. Were you there to see it? How do you know the Titanic sank? Eyewitnesses wrote about it, didn't they? Now, you understand that the eyewitnesses of the Titanic, some of them say it split in half before it sank. Some say it went stern first. Some say it went bow first. Does the fact that they disagree in their testimony nullify the whole thing of the Titanic sinking? Absolutely not. Well, we have eyewitness testimony that saw the thing sink. We have evidence of the Titanic sinking. And so it doesn't matter. And when we read the Bible and we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we're getting four different views of the gospel. But it's from four different perspectives. But just because they may not 100% agree on everything doesn't mean the event didn't happen. The evidence for Jesus Christ being the Son of God and being our Messiah is overwhelming. You'd be foolish not to accept that. Now, the next foolish thing is to deny it, because we're all going to have an opportunity one day to stand before him and give an account of our lives and whether we accepted him or not, or if we rejected him. And those who reject him, you will still live for eternity, but you will be permanently separated from the Creator in a place called hell. Now, that's another message for another day. But Saul absolutely understood the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, did y'all know that Saul was a lawyer? The Apostle Paul was a lawyer. And he was going to become a member of the Sanhedrin, which was the court at that time. That was the law at that time. That was their supreme court. There were 71 men who sat on the Sanhedrin that ruled over Jewish life and the religion that they practiced. Saul was so jealous for his faith that there was no compromise. Folks, those of us who are believers in Christ, we know there's no compromise in our faith. You cannot compromise our faith. You cannot do away with the cross, with the blood of Christ. You cannot do away with obedience to the Word of God and maintain that your faith is valid. You can't just be a Christian in name only. You have to be a Christian in practice as well. Saul was doing the very same thing in his zealousness for serving God. He thought he was doing the right thing. It was zeal that led Saul down the path of religious extremism. And so he was over the top extreme for getting rid of this Christian movement that was going on. And we see that in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. It says, now Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest and requested letters from him to the synagogues in Damascus, that if he found any men or women who belonged to the way, he might bring them as prisoners to Jerusalem. So he was going around the countryside. He got letters from all of the higher up so that he could travel from city to city and place to place and find these Christians and get rid of them. That was his mission. Now, this was not a mission from God. This was a mission from Paul. Paul, in his heart, thought he was doing the right thing for God without ever consulting God, without ever consulting the Holy Spirit. And many times we as Christians will do the same thing. We must be careful when we set out to do something for God that we're doing it because the Holy Spirit is leading us to do it, not because we think it's a great idea. Because our great ideas can get us in trouble quick. So we must make sure that whatever we decide to do is aligned with the Word of God, is led by a whole lot of prayer, and led by the Holy Spirit. If not, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. But something happens to Paul that radically changes his life. He's on the road to Damascus. He's going to look for these Christians. He's wanting to lock them up. And if you'll remember earlier when we studied Stephen, who was one the first martyrs for the church, Paul stood there and held the cloaks of the people that were stoning Stephen. And Stephen says something just before he dies. And he says, number one, I can see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. And then he says, Father, forgive them. That had to have an impact on Saul. Now, as Christians today, when someone makes us angry, what do we do or what do we say? Do we get angry right back at them? Do we plot our revenge when someone does something against us? The majority of us do, because we want instant gratification. We want them to suffer right now. That's why we give them the one-finger salute when they cut us off in traffic. That's why we get road rage when we're pushing a buggy through Walmart. Because we're not allowing Christ to come out of our hearts. We're allowing our flesh to take over. And we start doing things that are contrary to the way God wants us to act. And so Paul is going out and he's going to find these Christians. He's going to lock them all up. He's going to kill some of them. He's going to make sure that this Christianity is just stopped cold. And then something miraculous happens to the Apostle Paul. A friend invites him to church on Sunday morning, and sitting in Sunday school, he hears about Jesus Christ. No, wait, that's what happens to us today. How many of y'all invited a friend to Sunday school this morning? How many of y'all have brought someone to the Lord because of your witness and because of your testimony and because you live the Christian life outside the walls of this church? See, folks, the only way that we're going to grow the kingdom and grow Tall Pines Baptist Church is to be brave enough to go out into this world and share Christ with other people. But Paul has something amazing happen to him on the road to Damascus. He has a meeting with Jesus Christ himself. This is why Paul can be called an apostle, is because he witnessed the risen Christ in bodily form. Now, today there are no apostles. I don't care what these apostolic churches claim. There are no apostles left. All the apostles are dead and in heaven. Majority of them are in heaven with Jesus Christ today. So we're not apostles. But we are preachers. We are ministers of the gospel. We are to go out and proclaim the truth. So Paul has an encounter with Jesus, as each and every one of you who are in here today and who can claim to be saved, you had an encounter with Jesus at some point in your life. So Paul has this encounter with Jesus. And Jesus didn't say, "Why are you persecuting my church? Why are you persecuting my people?" He says, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He made it personal. Guys, the church is personal to Jesus. The church is important to Jesus. Each and every one of you are important to Jesus. We are called the bride of Christ for a reason. We are not rejects. We are not throwaways. We are brought here together as a church for a mighty purpose. And when we study the letters to the churches, when we look at Christ's letters to the churches in the book of Revelation, we can see that some churches are going to be rejected. Now, we want to make sure that we're not a rejected church. We want to make sure that we're not the lukewarm church that Jesus talks about in his letter. We want to make sure that we're serving the Lord well. Folks, that's my job as your pastor. I'm here to make sure you're serving the Lord well. If any Christian ever looks at me and says, you can't judge me, I'm immediately going to judge that person and say they're not a Christian, because a Christian should never utter those words. You should never look at someone who preaches the truth, who knows the Bible, and who tries to correct you. You should never, ever look at them and say, you can't judge me. Because Jesus never, ever, ever said that we cannot correct a brother or a sister. He said, make sure you take the log out of your eye before you look at the speck in your brother's eye. That means you better be living right if you're going to proclaim the truth. Now, I've shared with you all, and I'll share with you again. Every Sunday morning, I'm at this altar, and I'm confessing every sin that I've done that I can remember for the week, and I'm asking God to make sure I'm worthy to stand up here and preach the truth. Guys, we need to be doing that every day. Yesterday, Brother Paul brought a really good devotion to the men, talked about the armor of God and how we are to put that on every day. And it reminded me of what my Sunday school teacher, Chris Davis, told me years and years and years ago. He said, before my feet ever hit the floor, I'm praying and I'm making sure I've got the armor of God on before I even get out of bed. Guys, this world is an evil place. If you've watched the news, you can see this world is an evil place. Just in the last 48 hours, the amount of people that have been killed in the Charleston area is alarming. There's violence, there's evilness everywhere around us. It's all over the place. And we can't escape it while we live on this earth. But we have an encounter with Jesus that radically changes our life, which is what happened to Saul of Tarsus. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. God says, in Acts 9:15, go, for this man is my chosen instrument to take my name to Gentiles, kings, and Israelites. God had a purpose for Saul. Now, as Saul starts his missionary journeys, and he started his first one in the late 40s, which was about less than 10 years after Jesus died, he started his first missionary journey. He went to the Gentiles. And because Saul was going to the Gentiles, he started to go by his Roman name, which was Paul. And we've talked about this, and I actually had to do some study on this. We see that God will change the name of people throughout history. When they find a new purpose in him, God will change their name. Well, God did not change Saul's name to Paul. His name was already Paul. That just happened to be his Gentile name. And because he wanted to be recognized and understood by Gentiles, he started going by Paul instead of Saul. So God had a special purpose for Saul. Do you know that if you're here within the sound of my voice, and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that God has a special purpose for you in his church? Why in the church? Because that's where God's people come together. And so the church is put together, not so we have a safe place to hide, but so that we can learn and grow and be prepared to go out and share the gospel with everyone. See, Paul took his vast knowledge of the Old Testament, and he actually disappeared for a while. He went off the scene. He went for training. He went so the Holy Spirit could lead and guide him. He went to Peter and he went to the other apostles so he could learn more about Jesus, so he would be prepared to go out into the mission field and share Christ with everyone. Paul could have very easily said, I'm saved, I'm good, I know Jesus, I don't need to worry, I'm just going to stay here where it's safe. He could have even pretended to still hate Christians so that the Sanhedrin would have still accepted him. But he didn't. He went all out for Jesus. Guys, we need to be all out for Jesus. We need to deny ourselves. We need to not worry about our friends and our family that's going to reject us because of Jesus, because they're going to reject us because of Jesus. Paul ends up paying the ultimate price for following Christ. And I want you to see number four is Paul died for the faith. Paul was one of those who willingly was put to death for the faith. In Philippians 1, 21 through 24, Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, if I live on in the flesh, this means fruitful work for me, and I don't know which one I should choose. I am torn between the two. I long to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Guys, we should not fear death. The Christian should be happy. Do you know that the Mormons don't celebrate birthdays because they claim that means you're celebrating 1 year closer to death? Guys, I say celebrate it. Every morning you wake up, celebrate. I'm 1 day closer to being with Jesus. Every year I'm 1 year closer to being with Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. God says that we are to appreciate and enjoy our life that he gives us on the earth. We are not to end our lives early to be with Jesus, but we are not to fear death. We are not to be afraid to leave this world, and we should look forward to the coming of Christ. But as we look forward to the coming of Christ, as we look forward to our time being shorter day by day, that should give us an urgency for our lost friends and family that they don't end up in hell. And if they do end up in hell, it won't be because you didn't warn them. It'll be because they openly rejected it under their own power. C.S. Lewis said that hell should be crowded with Christians and that those going into hell should be tripping over the outreached hands of those trying to save them. Because we should be concerned about our loved ones that don't know Christ. Now, there's two things I want to share with you that we can learn from the life of Paul. And in the upcoming weeks, we're going to take his missionary journeys one by one. And once again, I'm not doing an in-depth study. I'm doing an overview of these things so that you will go home, you will study the book of Acts, and you'll come back on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock and have a bunch of questions for me. That's the idea. But first, the first thing we learn from the life of Saul, or Paul, God can save anyone. Paul considered himself chief amongst sinners. He persecuted and personally witnessed the death of believers and took joy in it. If God had a reason to reject anybody, he could have rejected Paul, but yet he did not. So God can save anyone. The remarkable story of Paul repeats itself every day. Sinful, broken people from all over the world are transformed by God's saving grace in Jesus Christ. You won't hear about this in the American media, and the overseas media is not too proud to proclaim this either. But do you know there are thousands of Muslims coming to faith in Christ on a daily basis? Do you know that Jesus is giving them dreams and visions so that they will come to the faith of Christianity? We are winning the Muslims in the world because Jesus is having encounters with Muslims all over the world. If you're here today and you're not saved, don't look back. Don't look at your past. Don't even think, well, I've sinned so much God can't possibly forgive me. Because the Bible says that Jesus took every sin ever committed to the cross. You cannot be so wicked and evil that God cannot save you. So that's the first thing we learn, is that God can save everyone. The second thing we learn, church, listen up. We learn from the life of Paul that anyone can be a humble, powerful witness for Jesus Christ. Anyone. I don't care if you don't like public speaking. I don't care if you're afraid to share with someone cold. Paul shows us that anyone can be a number one humble but powerful witness for Jesus Christ. Humility is the key into serving the Lord in a correct fashion. We must humble ourselves. We cannot be full of ourselves. If you're full of yourself, you cannot be full of the Holy Spirit. You cannot look around and say, I reject authority. I don't want anyone telling me what to do. You cannot have that attitude and serve the Lord, because the Lord's going to tell you what to do. And you better be listening to Him, and you better be obedient to Him. No other human figure in the Bible demonstrates humility and sharing the gospel like Paul. There's no one else that we can look at through the scriptures that does the things that Paul does. Now, if you're here today, maybe you're not called to be a missionary. Maybe you're not called to go hundreds of miles out of your way to share the gospel. But you are called to share the gospel. All of you have a sphere of influence. You have people around you who are paying attention to you. If I were to go interview coworkers, would they know that you're a Christian? If I were to go interview your neighbors, would they know that you're a Christian? If I were to ask your family, would they know that you're a Christian? That's something for you to ask yourself and to deal with God. But folks, everyone that comes in contact with you should know that your faith is in Christ. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. If you are a true believer in Christ, are you offended by sin? When someone sins around you, does it offend you? Or do you just kind of wink and nudge and look the other way? Guys, we should be so heartbroken by sin that we have that repentance that comes out in us and we're willing to share with people. Do you know that that lifestyle you're living is detrimental to you and everyone around you? You see, God doesn't want us to live a holy life just so He can be satisfied. He wants us to live a holy life so we can reach others around us. Are you excited to come to church? Are you excited to come to Sunday school? Or is this something you have to do? You see, the love of Christ should implore us to want to be with other believers. We should want to come to church. We should want to study the scriptures. We should want to know more about God. We should be like the Apostle Paul. Folks, you should get so mature in your walk with Christ that you can write a letter to a group of people that's doing it wrong. Because that's what Paul did. Under the power of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, Paul was able to rebuke and correct people. And guys, we need to be able to do the same thing. When you come to church, you come to be a blessing to someone else. You come looking for a blessing from God. But you should also come expecting to have something pointed out in your life that needs to change. Because we all have something in our lives that needs to change. None of us have lived perfectly this last week. None of us. And if you have questions that you don't understand, why are you not coming on Sunday night and asking your questions? We have some great discussions about the Bible and about theology and about doctrine. and about the things that we should believe and why we believe them. See, I don't want blind followers coming to this church. I don't want people coming to church and just saying, well, because the pastor said it, it's got to be true. I want you to study the word for yourself. You see, Paul, as imperfect as he was chosen by God to do an amazing thing, to bring salvation to the Gentiles. If you don't realize it, without the missionary work of Paul, we may not be in church today. We may not have the opportunity to worship God today. If they would have been successful in stamping out Christianity, and understand they stamped out a lot of early movements in that time. Anything that spoke out against God or the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the Sanhedrin was thwarted very quickly. The Romans wanted all of their citizens to worship Caesar and the gods they had set up. So any other person that was worshiped was deemed unworthy and put to death. But because Paul was brave enough to go out in a time where people who proclaimed the truth were being openly prosecuted, if he wouldn't have been brave enough to do that, the church would look vastly different today. And as we go on and we look at Paul's life coming up, you'll see that he almost died several times to proclaim his faith. And yet that didn't stop him. When he wrote the majority of his letters to the churches, he was in prison awaiting death. And yet he wrote encouragement to the churches while he was waiting to die. Talked a little bit a couple of weeks ago about your influence on people around you. What kind of influence do you have? Are you influencing people towards Christ and towards the church? Or is your influence towards more worldly things? You see, as Christians, we must always put Christ first. We must always make God the center of our worship. We must always focus on the things that God calls us to do. And quit worrying about what the world can offer you, because the day you die, no one in this world is going to be at your side. The day you stand in judgment, no one in this world is going to be standing by your side. But the day you stand in judgment, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, Jesus is going to take off his robes. He's going to stand up for you and say, he's with me, she's with me, they're coming into heaven. But if you're not with Christ, if you have rejected him, then you're going to hear the most terrifying words that human beings will ever hear. And that is, depart from me, I never knew you. So while you're drawing breath, you have the opportunity. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have another opportunity. You don't know that you're going to open your eyes tomorrow. You don't know that you're going to live till the end of this day. So while you have the opportunity, you can come to Christ. It's as simple as admitting to him, I'm a sinner, I'm not worthy to be with God, I know that you died on the cross of Calvary for my sins, I know that you were resurrected 3 days later, and I put my faith in you. And then your faith can be tiny. You can doubt, it's okay. Just as the man told Jesus, yes, I believe, help me in my unbelief. You can doubt a little bit, but you got to grow. You got to stay in his word, you got to stay in prayer, keep coming to church. You need Jesus. The world needs Jesus. You don't stand a chance in eternity without Jesus Christ. So as we get ready to sing a song of invitation, the altar will be open for any and all. Believers, come, kneel and pray. For any who don't know Jesus as your Savior, come and let's reason together. Let's pray about it. Let's talk about it. You can know Jesus today before you leave this place, but you have to step out in faith. Please join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word. We're thankful for the life of Paul, Lord, and that you chose to include in your word the events that led up to his salvation, that you chose to talk about how Jesus confronted him and wondered why he was persecuting him personally. Father, you show us in your word the importance of studying your scriptures, the importance of gathering together, the importance of obedience to you. Father, I just pray right now that you would help all of